I just look up and to my right, and I just see Dave Chappelle is sitting next to me.
Oh, he literally just came on the stage.
He just came on stage. He didn't talk to me.
He didn't ask anything. He just got up and sat down. Happy New Year, everyone. My name is Kara Mahorn, and this is the Blurred Girl Podcast. Now, welcome to my first podcast episode of 2020, or of the decade even, I guess. I hope everyone had a wonderful holiday and is relaxed and rested and not completely freaking out that World War III might be imminent. Hopefully, my interview this week will cheer you up and take your mind off of the crazy news cycle. Now, my guest is writer, comedian, and actor Yodoye Travis. Many of you might know Yodoye from his podcast, Dark Tank, as well as the YouTube web show Get in the Robot, the one that's all about anime. It's like, that's not his show, but he is on there a lot for Frederator. He's a talented guy. He really is. That's been blowing up on the stand-up comic circuit, but I really think he's going to explode on screen very soon. But I promise we'll get into all the details about Yodoye and anime and geekdom in general right after I pay some bills. If you've been following me for any length of time, then you know I stay busy and it's really hard for me to get in all the reading that I want to do. So that's why I'm a huge fan of Audible. Now I listen to them when I'm cleaning the house, traveling. They're especially great for passing the time on those long lines at the airport. Now currently I'm listening to Akata Witch for three reasons. One, I'm a fan of Nnedi Okorafor's writing. She writes incredible science fiction featuring African women. Two, it's been dubbed the Nigerian Harry Potter. And three, because Yetide Badaki, who was just on the show recently, is narrating it. Now, what I love about audiobooks like this is that, kind of like scripted podcasts, they are like listening to old-time radio programs, and I love that. But don't take my word for it. Start your own commitment-free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/theblurredgirl. You can choose from one audiobook and two Audible originals you can't hear anywhere else. Also, any credits that you don't use totally roll over to the next month. So start your 30-day free trial today by going to audibletrial.com/theblurredgirl. Now, back to the show. So I made a New Year's resolution this year, which I don't often do, but I try to make them more attainable. So one of the most important ones that I gave myself was to be consistent, which I'm trying to do with this podcast in particular and many other things, because my goal this year is to get to 10,000 downloads a month, which is tough, but I'm gonna try. The next resolution I gave myself is really difficult. It's to stop being a perfectionist when it comes to my content. I have a ton of behind-the-scenes content, interviews that I never got posted, pitches that got rejected. And I just never did anything with this stuff because I figured they were no longer timely or people wouldn't be interested or, you know, showing an interview about something after it's come out, maybe that's not as cool. And I don't know. Most of the time, I just ran out of time and couldn't get a lot of the stuff posted. So what I'm trying to say is I basically need an assistant or an intern, but I don't have the money to pay one yet. So I'm going to just keep juggling virtual assistants till I can get this thing sponsored. Anyway, I digress. This interview with Yodoye Travis is actually one of those pieces that was just sitting in a bin because it's content that simply got lost in my insane schedule at the end of last year. I think I recorded this during New York Comic Con. Yes, I recorded this during New York Comic Con up in the press area. And we talked a lot about mostly anime and his role on Get in the Robot, one of my favorite shows on YouTube about anime right now. He also has this hysterical podcast called Dark Tank. Yes, it rhymes with Shark Tank, but that's the only connection. Now, Dark Tank records live, I think, once a month, and then the rest of the time they're in a studio. So basically what he does is he and two other black comedians interview white people about what they would do to solve racism. So the subjects have no idea what the exact questions are they're going to be asked before they get there. So the answers are always awkward and usually hilarious. They're insane. Yudoya is also writing for a new Kevin James show coming to Netflix about a NASCAR pit crew. I have no idea how that happened, and apparently neither does he. And he also does stand-up as well, so I'm going to leave all of his info in the show notes. Be sure to check it out. Now, before I let you hear this, I know I said I wasn't going to be too hard on myself, but I need you to understand something when you listen to this. It was day 3 of New York Comic Con. I was losing my voice and on way too much cold medicine and coffee. So without further ado, here is my interview with comedian, writer, and actor, Yudoya Travis. I want to talk about you.
Yes.
So tell the listeners who you is.
Okay, that's that question gets harder every day.
It does?
Because I feel like I keep adding new things. But the short answer is that I'm a stand-up comedian, and I like anime. I try not to tell people I'm an anime expert because they ask too much of you if you claim that title.
Which you know also, more than the average Joe.
I know more than the average person. But I'm also on Getting the Robot to represent the average person. So
yeah.
I kind of have to ride a weird line.
You do.
Yeah.
But in terms of the stand-up comedy, when did you first get into that?
I guess it's been like 7 years now. I started doing stand-up in Atlanta at the Laughing Skull Lounge.
Okay.
I guess I did my first open mic like 9 years ago, and then I didn't go back for 2 years. So I say 7, but...
So it scared the crap out of you and you didn't go back?
I was just really bad at it the first time. I wouldn't say I was scared, but it was like when I first started, it was more of a bucket list thing.
Gotcha.
Than like I wanted it to be my career.
When did you decide that you wanted it to be your career?
2 years later when I couldn't stop thinking about it.
Wow.
I was just like, oh, I don't know why I haven't been back. And then I went back and I haven't stopped doing it since.
Now, how does one get to be a professional comedian? I mean, did you train? Did you start going to improv classes and do all the things that actors do? Or
No, it's very different in that way because you just kind of have to do it.
And figure out whatever works and what doesn't work?
Yeah, it's all just trial and error. It was like, I don't know, I feel like actors are, there are classes for both, but
yeah.
Like I think acting, it's a little bit less frowned upon to take an acting class because everybody kind of has to, even like the biggest actors now still take acting classes
But it's frowned upon if you take
stand-up classes just because like...
It's like, so you're just not funny and you're trying to smart and you're trying to cheat?
Exactly. And it's like... It just seems like there's so many free ways to go up and just do it.
Yeah.
That you, like, it almost doesn't make sense just financially to pay for a stand-up class. And also most of the people teaching stand-up classes are not successful stand-ups. Because if they were, they wouldn't
they would
have time to teach a class.
Therein lies the rub.
Exactly.
So you decided, all right, that's it. This is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but when were you able to like quit the full-time job to do it?
What year is it?
It's 2019.
It's really been this past year has been like the first that I've really been sustaining myself on comedy money.
Yeah.
I think last year I sort of made a little bit of, I booked a couple commercials at the end of last
you
year.
You did. We saw you. I was very, one of those, Away?
Yeah. Away
the
luggage.
The suitcase.
Uh-huh.
I was like, look at a black man traveling.
Right?
A black man traveling.
Look at me in the sky.
In the sky. Looking all suave and debonair.
Mm-hmm. My afro all packed
picked
in.
Picked out. Yeah, that was.
Picked out and packed
did
in.
Did they have somebody black on set to do that?
They did.
Which is
they
good.
They did. That was like...
That's rare.
That was the one thing I was about to flag for them, and they were like, no, we got it covered.
Okay.
I was like very impressed with them.
That's very good.
It's like everybody
look,
was...
look, I'm still fighting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I believe it.
I'm still showing up makeup ready.
I mean, you see, I had to learn how to twist my own hair and shit. I'm just like, I'm not gonna wait for y'all. So I was on Search Party looking stupid with my hair still fucking wet and shit.
Really?
Yeah.
And they didn't understand.
They had no idea. Every set I go on, they're just like, you look great. Go on out.
And you're like, no, actually, I don't.
Yeah. I'm just like, I look objectively bad. Like, what are you talking about? They just like, it's not even, I don't know. I don't know if it's that they don't care or that they genuinely just don't know.
Well, it's both.
It's both.
The actor, the hair and makeup that are in the unions, they never had to learn black hair.
Yeah.
And most of our hair and makeup people that, you know, the barbershop and the beauty salon, mm-hmm. they don't get into the union.
Yeah.
So yeah. that's why I got to get up at the crack of dawn uh-huh. to get my face did in yep. Brooklyn before I come all the way on the show.
Yep. I, last set I was on, or one of the last sets I was on, so I feel like they still feel like they have to justify their position. So like sometimes they'll just leave me alone, which is, it's frustrating, but it's fine and I'm used to it. But one of the last sets I was on, she goes, "Oh, you're fine." And then she started to walk away and she turns around and she goes, "But like, if you want me to do something," I'm like, no, you don't have to. But she just starts like fucking around in my hair. And it's like, she is one of the like, you know, the little like not quite a pick comb.
Yes.
She starts like fucking around in my hair with that.
And they don't do anything. Just, like, they just touch your hair. They yeah. just touch the top of your hair with
yeah.
it. We have a kindred spirit now, because now I know that it's not just the sisters going
yeah.
through it.
No,
the brothers are going through it too.
It's me too.
Damn.
It's us.
They try and mess with your beard. These things like that.
They very rarely do anything to my beard.
Because that's like, coming near your face.
Yeah.
And that's something they don't want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like with like makeup and stuff and just my face in general, I feel better about it only because like it kind of feels like a compliment when they see my skin and they're just like, "You have great skin. We don't need to do anything to you." I'm just like, "Okay, yeah, that's fine, but also you do."
Right, because that's a 4K camera.
Yeah.
And nobody looks like a human being on a 4K
right.
camera without makeup.
Exactly. Exactly. So like, put some shit on me, but like, I appreciate the compliment, but like, put some shit on my face, on
do
my
something.
Head.
Yes. Yeah. Work that out.
Yeah.
Get
some, just, you know, hit the T-zones at least.
Yeah. You're hilarious. So then you have this great podcast, and actually, I didn't know you had the podcast. I just knew you from Getting the Robot, and my boyfriend put me on the podcast.
Yeah.
And he was like, "This is the most hilarious thing I've ever heard. Tell everybody about the podcast."
Oh, yeah. So it's called Dark Tank. It's a show where it's a parody of Shark Tank, obviously. I always have people, like, I talk to them and like 20 minutes later, they have this like, "Oh, like Shark Tank." So I realize I should explain that to people, I guess.
A little bit.
But it's a parody of Shark Tank where I have white people pitch solutions to racism to a panel of black people.
It is so brilliant.
Thank you.
Because you get some of the white people really think they are very, very liberal and very, very woke.
Yeah.
And they have to learn that they might not be as open as they thought they were.
Yeah. The scariest thing to me is when I tell somebody about the podcast, or when they approach me and they're just like, "Bro, I have so many ideas." I'm like, I don't want that.
We don't want
I don't want you to already have ideas for this. I want this to be like a thing.
That's how this works.
Yeah. I don't want you to already be prepared for this weird hypothetical show.
You're taking the thrill of the spontaneity out of it, my friend.
Yeah. But that also means like they're going to try to pitch real world solutions to me, which is like, okay, you read Sean King's Twitter. I appreciate that. Sure. But this is a comedy podcast. So like, don't do that to me.
Don't do that. That's not funny.
Yeah.
Otherwise, then we got to make fun of you.
Yeah. I had to tell somebody on the show. I guess it's still on the episode where she just gave me all these, like, she just listed off these solutions from Sean King's website. And I was just like, okay, now we just have this real information and we know we're not going to solve it in this moment. So, like, what do we do now? And I said that.
And she was like, "Oh."
Yeah. Yeah.
What's been the best answer that you've gotten though on the show? Funniest things.
I've gotten a lot of good ones. James Hamilton is a comic who's like very good at this format. I don't understand how he doesn't have a writing job yet, because I'll tell him like day before and he'll just crank out something insane. It was the last time he was on the show, he pitched a racial credit score. Or it has to be like, it's like attached to all your credit history, your dating profiles, all this stuff. And you have to have a score of like 700 or higher to move into a black neighborhood and to date black people and all this stuff.
I feel like it's like a reverse Black Mirror episode.
Yeah. I think it is just a Black Mirror episode. I think it is. Maybe it's not that good, actually.
No, it's
maybe
good. It's good, but no, but they never would move into a black neighborhood.
Yeah.
What are some of the other guests and things like that have been memorable for you?
Alice Wetterlin pitched a Fitbit that tracks your allyship. It's called a racelet.
I love a racelet.
A racelet.
I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a whole moment with that one. We did the whole thing. Somebody got up and ran out the door and all that.
Right.
Know, black people stuff.
Yes, exactly. Run
black
around the
reactions.
Building. Right, black reactions. Black reactions that mimic running away like a slave. It's,
yeah.
It's a thing.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a lot. Shit, what were some other good ones? Those are my two favorites, I think. James pitched another one that was really good. He pitched an app where, like, if a white person says something racist to you, you don't have to deal with it at all. You just press a button and the mafia shows up.
And they just jump
and they
them.
Just take care of it.
Like the cleaners.
We don't like to be specific about it,
right,
but
right.
They handle it.
Because podcast.
Yeah.
But then one day you had a special guest that showed up. Because you have a live show.
I have a live show, yeah.
So you have a special guest that showed up on this live show.
Yeah. I was doing the show at the Comedy Store in the Belly Room. This is the upstairs, like their smallest room. And it was like a decent turnout, but it was kind of light. It's a small room.
You
can like really feel the space of the room, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then as I'm talking, I hear just everybody in the room just go silent. And it's like, what the fuck is everybody?
Oh, because you thought it was your joke?
I thought I had said something fucked up. And I didn't see anybody walk.
I didn't see anybody walk in or walk through the room.
So I just look up. And to my right, and I just see Dave Chappelle is sitting next to me.
Oh, he literally just came on stage.
He just came on stage. He didn't talk to me.
He didn't ask anything. He just got up and sat down.
Yeah.
Because I listened to the podcast. I didn't realize he was on the stage with you. I just thought he sat down the front row or something.
Oh, no. He was on stage.
He just walked up and just sat down.
He just sat down.
Like, and looked at you like that happens.
Mm-hmm. Somebody told him the premise of the show, and he was just like,
oh, I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm doing this shit right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, you had an amazing reaction.
Man, in retrospect, I'm like, man, why would I do?
Well, the funny thing is, it didn't sound crazy, but you must have looked.
Oh, yeah, I look like a psycho. Like, as I remember, I was just like, oh, my God. Oh, shit. And I was, like, very vocal about it. And under the table, Jack Knight is just, like, grabbing my wrist, just like, chill.
Keep it together, because he's staying.
Chill. Because everybody's like, yo, he's kind of skittish. If you do the wrong thing, he's just going to get up and leave. Don't.
Right.
Like, and so I'm just here doing the wrong thing.
But he stayed for a minute.
He stayed. He didn't come on as himself.
No.
He did a voice. He did a white guy character and pitched basically that if we could all get the right, if we could all figure out the right charcoal to use when we do blackface. Then everything would be solved. It was incredible. It was a great moment. And then Jack Knight asked him about Jussie Smollett. And then he said, because he's still in character, he goes, if I had a stand-up act, I'd probably do it in that. And then he did it his next special.
He did?
Yeah.
So you guys, not only did he come up there and do improv with you, but you helped him work out some material.
Yeah.
For his episode. So. It sounds like Chappelle owes you a check.
Yeah, Chappelle. Hey, Dave Chappelle, if you're listening, I'll just be looking in my mailbox for that residual check on your, I know Netflix doesn't do residuals, so never mind. Never mind. We're good. We're square.
Did your Twitter blow up after that? Did your,
after that
episode dropped?
It was weird because it had already blown up before that happened. And that was kind of just like more momentum. Yeah. I think I got most of my listeners based on one tweet in like December.
Which
was? It was like the day before Christmas. I was like, hey, I have a podcast where I make white people pitch solutions to racism. And then I got on the plane. And when
and
I
you got
off
the plane, it had gone viral.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
It was like a reverse Justine Sacco situation.
Now, did you think, okay, I probably should have done a tweet about the podcast 6 months ago because...
Yeah.
Because all you were doing is explaining the premise and you could have done that from jump.
Literally just said the idea and everybody was, oh, yeah, I fuck with this.
But you have done other specials. You have done other stand-up projects and things like that.
Yeah. I've done some stand-up on Comedy Central, on Hulu several years ago that I don't even remember where to find it.
Now, you've got the podcast, which is obviously successful.
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle Notice. Mm-hmm. You've got your stand-up.
Got my stand-up.
You also have Get in the Robot.
I have Get in the Robot, yeah.
Now, explain Get in the Robot to me, because it's not your show.
No.
Who owns that? Because I know I watch it on YouTube, but who owns it?
So Get in the Robot is, I guess, a subsidiary of Channel Frederator. So it's there with, like, Leaderboard and leaderboard. That's in Channel Frederator, the main channel. Mm-hmm. I wish I could name all of the channels.
It's fine. I know they have a bunch of different channels. Yeah. So Channel Frederator, has this channel that's dedicated for those of you who don't know what Getting the Robot means. You need to watch more anime. How did they find you, or how did you find them?
So they found me based on, I guess they had seen me do stand-up, and I literally had one joke about Dragon Ball Z in my act. So.
And they're like, we need a black man.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Or we need this black man, I guess.
There you go.
And they.
Because it is a very diverse show, actually.
Yeah, it's very diverse. Like, there's only one white person, and she's a woman, and queer, and there is Cristal, who's Latina. And two black men, we're the majority, which is, it's great.
It is.
And we did an event at YouTube Space a couple months ago, and I went in expecting kind of a very typical anime audience.
Yeah.
There was like three white people in the whole room
people.
Of like 200. Yeah.
So one of my favorite episodes is when you were talking about My Hero Academia.
Mm-hmm.
And My Hero Academia is about to come back.
Yes.
We just watched the trailer before this, full disclosure.
Yeah.
What are you most excited to see in this new season?
I'm very excited to see Midoriya stop being a baby and just like
stop crying?
Yeah. And kind of just, I don't want to say man up, but like, for lack of a better phrase, man up. And
he seems to now be a teenager. I want him to stop acting like a child.
Yeah.
So like, okay, so what have we learned? We've grown.
Exactly. I'm just ready to see him like fill that role now that All Might is retired and just like actually.
But then Bakugan is going to also stay mad like a kid.
Yeah. I don't know that I
have a problem with that?
Well, I was going to say I don't know that I see him like really growing in this next season, but it's kind of set up where he is. I think he's going to grow a lot as a person, as a character.
Okay.
And just like they had their little moments where they're finally like, okay, we're not friends, but we're like Goku and Vegeta type friends.
Exactly.
As opposed to like,
they're totally Goku and Vegeta.
Yeah.
Now, what are the other things? Like, I laugh and joke. I like a lot of the secondary characters.
Yeah.
Like, I love the nurse.
Uh-huh.
She can, like, her superpower is kiss it and make it better.
Yeah.
I love that.
Uh-huh.
Also, these new ones. I'm very confused by this new kid with
the one that teleports through the ground?
Yeah, but it's not really teleportation because he doesn't know where he's going to end up. Like, it's more like Kitty Pryde.
Phasing, yeah, shadow.
Hold his breath because his organs might not come back in. Like, that's insane.
Yeah. And that's what I like a lot about My Hero is that ultimately it's kind of just Japanese X-Men.
It's Japanese Xavier's school for gifted children.
Yeah. But then they go that extra step and they add these elements of like, this is the problem with my power. X-Men does that too, but like, it's as more of like, this is the plot point for this episode or for this issue. So like, Professor X is hearing too many voices in this episode or in this, but like, it's not a pervasive problem that he has.
And I also like how they police it. Like,
yeah.
Besides the fact that the police dog is a actual police dog.
Yes.
but that time, I think it's in season one, how they save everybody, but they can't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Because they're all students and there's rules.
It's very Harry Potter.
It is.
Harry Potter.
It's like a cross between Harry Potter and X-Men. And also in X-Men, not everybody, almost feels like New Mutants, because in X-Men, not everybody, everybody's power is a superpower.
Yeah.
And this, everybody.
Some people just have
powers. Yeah. Like you have the ability to move a cloud. That is not helpful.
Yeah.
But
you can lightly draw objects toward you, but not necessarily
quickly.
Do anything with
them. Yeah, you can't throw them.
Yeah.
You're mildly pyrokinetic. It's just,
Exactly.
But we need that full on. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably not going to be a place for you at
UA
High.
Exactly.
What are some of your favorite characters?
Ooh. Favorite characters. I feel like everybody complains about Midoriya, but I actually like him a lot. I think he's a great character.
I think it's the best origin story.
Yeah. I think he's a great character. I like Aizawa a lot. I have a little, I guess we're not doing Funko Pops anymore, but I have a little Funko Pop of Aizawa at home. I like Aizawa a lot. I like, I don't like Bakugo now, but I never liked him, but I am excited to see where he goes as a character.
If he grows,
Yeah.
You know who's got a fucked up family?
Who's that?
Todoroki.
I don't know why I didn't say Todoroki.
His dad married his mom for her powers.
Yeah.
To generate a baby with these two powers. And then he...
Yo, that's on some slave shit.
That's what I'm saying.
Some like weird slave
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, some Sally Hemings shit.
Yeah.
And then he treats her so crappy that she tries to kill herself.
Yeah.
She almost hurts the baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, whoa, just wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was very, very like, this is
yo,
a
when
lot.
Yo, when I found out how he got that scar, I was like, fuck
exactly.
Is this show, man?
Because I really thought it was his dad who did it.
Yeah.
I was in shock. I was like, wait, his mom? Because she was like losing mm-hmm. it. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going out and I'm taking everybody with me. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I just, okay.
Yeah. Man, that episode kind of fucked me up. Because, like, I don't know. I know anime is, like, not really for kids, but the show feels like it's for kids.
It is until that one.
Yeah.
Oh, and then also the All Might has the, it's one for all.
Yeah.
All for one.
All for one.
He scared the crap out of
yes.
me.
Yes.
I was like, okay, I don't,
yeah.
this is like Sith mixed with
yeah.
Voldemort mixed
yeah.
with.
mixed with like fucking Thanos
exactly.
type shit. Yeah. Just finally see, the end of season shit in My Hero is just like every season it fucks me up. Because it's a different show. It's like I feel like they call in a different team to write those episodes.
They definitely have a different animation team though.
Yeah.
Too. Like
yeah.
you see when it's the A team
uh-huh.
versus the B team.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? The one with the head of a that's got like half bird. He's got the head of a crow.
Oh, who?
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know who you're talking
like,
about.
When
I
it's the
A
team, he's
yeah.
all got like pretty feathers and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And when it's the B team, it's like triangles.
Yeah. yep. It's very One Punch Man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm speaking of One Punch Man, that one that can phase between things. He's got like
oh yeah, he's got those like, weird like Archie eyes.
Yes, Archie
yeah.
Rin Tin Tin face. I don't know.
Yeah, that shit is it's the weirdest shit to me. You're just like ugh.
No, his superpower is his face. Why does he look like that?
Yeah. yeah. Like how does he blink? What does it look like when he blinks?
So just what are some of the other things that you're getting into and looking forward to? It's fall. It's gone from 90 degrees to 50 degrees here in New York.
Yeah,
in 48 hours.
Hours. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's either about to get very cold and have a cold winter, or we're all gonna die.
Uh huh. Uh huh. Honestly, looking forward to it at this point.
What?
Not
dying or winter?
Are they different? Are those not the same thing? Things I'm looking forward to. Demon Slayer.
Yes,
you're watching
that.
Demon
okay.
Slayer is
I've
like
only
my,
seen the first episode, so I like it.
It's my favorite anime that I've seen.
The animation's
in years.
Awesome.
It's so good, and it
okay.
only gets better.
It does.
It's like
and the writing's good.
The writing is good. There's tension written into it that so well that's like.
Well, yeah, because his sister. No one ever knows when she's gonna like rip that thing off and start killing everybody, right?
Well, she doesn't, and it's like, it seems like a thing that might come up later, but I don't think they're really playing it like she might snap at any time.
Because I felt that the demon that killed the kid's whole family, for those of you who don't know Demon Slayer, it's about a boy who comes home late from an errand like a child does.
It's Anime Blade.
It's, yes, except... It's his sister
yes.
that instead of his mom.
Yeah.
And so the girl, is she half demon or does
she
the demon
is
just
full demon.
So it turned her as opposed
yeah.
to killing her.
Yeah.
But she has cognizance. She's not
yeah.
mindless.
So she just has like a strong heart. The ultimate anime literary device, I guess. She is strong of will. And
strong
therefore,
of will with powers of cute.
Uh-huh. And therefore does not need to eat humans to live. She just sleeps for a long time.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So she's kind of like hibernate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She sleeps off all her wounds and all this stuff.
Like, got it.
Yeah.
She regenerates.
Yeah.
Little Wolverine.
Yeah.
So why do you like it so much, though? What is the one thing
I mean, it's just one
overall?
Of the... It's like one of the most disappointing things to me in anime is when it's like... And poorly animated or when it's just like I don't know, like for as much as I like Evangelion, the long shots on this like on the same frame just kill me so much. I don't like watching that. I don't like watching it for 3-4 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
And Demon Slayer, it's just like I feel like they use CGI well in the way that like it just feels like everything is dynamic and like things are moving all the time.
Yeah.
But also they go like, they don't like overdo it in the way where it doesn't look stupid.
Yeah.
And they just add these little elements that are just like, they add a little bit of flavor, but they're not like relying on it.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
And then another one that I've been looking at has been Fire Force, but I'm a few more episodes in of that, like four.
Yeah.
Five. So it's like, these are like firebenders and Catholics or something. It's very.
Yeah, it's the religious elements. I'm like, what is happening here?
That part is really bizarre to me.
Yeah.
Because one girl doesn't do anything but pray.
Yeah.
That's like her only
it's
job.
All she does.
Is to keep her nun habit, her fireproof nun habit on.
Uh-huh. But, you know, maybe it'll be explained later. I hope.
But that animation is really good, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the show I was most excited about before this season started. And then Demon Slayer just kind of overtook it. I'm not caught up on that either, but, like, it's just kind of like, for lack of a better phrase, it's been on the back burner. So it just is, like, it's the show that I have that I'm, like, once I'm done with everything, I'm just going to sit and enjoy this show.
Enjoy the show. Okay.
Because I'm still excited about it, but it just didn't feel urgent.
Yeah, no, it sounds like Demon Slayer, everyone, you're watching immediately.
Yeah,
Are they simulcasting it?
Yes, I believe so. It's on Hulu and Crunchyroll at the same time and all that.
Okay.
And a movie's coming
what?
In soon. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I guess they announced it. I guess it is and isn't a spoiler because it's not any information, but they do like a little teaser for it at the end of the season.
Okay. Now, before I let you go, I want you to, you know, if you've got an upcoming show this fall somewhere in New York, tell us.
Yes. Well, I am writing on a new show on Netflix with Kevin James.
Nice.
It's called The Crew.
Nice.
It's, I'm very confused why they need me, but they need me, you know?
It could be because you're good and you're funny.
It's a show about a NASCAR pit crew.
You don't think there's any black people that are on these things? That might be why they picked you.
I think that's why they picked me.
Yeah.
I think that's why.
Because they are you. Who's and well, he's the one guy.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious.
I'll be at the front of all those pictures, every single one.
But you gonna collect those checks and you gonna write them? Okay.
Oh yeah, contracts are signed.
Like this is a thing that's happening.
Yeah. At this point, I say whatever I want, and no, I get at least 20 weeks of pay.
But that's good though.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter why they did it. They did it.
Oh yeah.
And I'm excited for you.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited to meet Paul Blart. I gotta stop calling him Paul Blart.
Yeah, you do.
It's my new boss.
Wait, so you haven't met him yet?
I have not met him. No.
Okay, so it's just his team.
No, I talked to the showrunner. I talked to the showrunner, interviewed with him, and was offered the job within a couple days. Well, I think the show is kind of about this pit crew, like the business affairs get handed off to like a team of millennials. And so I think I'm the resident millennial. So
you're the resident millennial.
I think I'm the resident millennial.
Because you're 20.
Because I'm 27.
that's the story we're telling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, I know what I forgot to ask you. Did you ever watch the My Hero Academia movie?
I didn't. I did just see Promare.
Ah.
It was weird.
It was weird.
It was weird.
But like weird paprika weird? Or just weird?
Like studio trigger weird.
Oh, okay.
Like they just threw in every studio trigger element.
Somebody pressed all the buttons?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. It's Kill la Kill reference, Gurren Lagann reference.
Yes.
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
So somebody's running around with a giant pair of half scissors.
Yeah.
Really?
No. They. So they have like this like suit of armor that's called a Matoy suit or something like that. Yeah.
Well, or like Darling in the Franxx.
Yeah. 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 There's a little of that.
And it's so funny when you talk to people about Darling in the Franxx too. I'm like, so these are kids having sex, and they're like, no, they're flying ships. I'm like.
But
in order for the ship to fly, she has to bend over, mm-hmm. and he has to be behind it. Really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, I feel like I spend so much time on Getting the Robot just yelling at anime fans. Just being like, you know this is not
you know
cool.
That's this
not
is
cool.
Not, like, this should never happen in real life.
It's not supposed to be like that. There's always, like, I always tell people, like, especially with My Hero, I'm just like, reminder, these kids are in high school. So,
yeah.
Like,
That's the part that makes.
I know they dress like this, but like
that used to make me crazy with Ichigo with bleach.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Every now and then they put him back in high school, and I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yep.
Like,
yeah, I'm just like, why is this necessary? Let them grow up. So,
but
like,
they do the same thing in live action Japanese shows. Like this 30-year-old guy will be playing a high school kid.
Oh yeah,
and you're like, how?
Yeah, I mean, we do that here, I guess.
That's true.
Dawson's Creek type shit.
That's true.
Yeah.
Even probably X-Men.
Yeah.
But thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
I look forward to seeing the new show that you're not quite sure why you're on.
I'm gonna justify my position. I'll make it work.
There you go. And all the stand up and the podcast and stuff. Mm-hmm. Tell everybody the name of your podcast again.
My podcast is called Dark Tank. I also have a podcast coming out with Crunchyroll called Anime in America. I should have mentioned that earlier.
You should have, and I should also be on that. I'm kind of angry at you now.
It's mostly written, so. I mean, it's not all written yet.
You're so funny.
Don't do this to me.
It's fine. I understand.
Don't do this to me.
Black women just can't get ahead.
Oh, my God.
I think I broke him, guys. No, seriously. Thank you. We will check out both of those.
Yeah.
And you are, what's your handle on Twitter?
I'm at Professor Doye on everything. Professor Doye.
Right.
Yes.
That's African, y'all. Figure it out.
Yeah.
It's
two
not,
syllables.
It's
not hard.
Toy. Yeah, thank you. But they don't know that.
Yeah.
I've been there. I got one of them names. And with very easy vowels in
very
between the consonants.
Vowels.
It's not.
Yeah. But people don't check. People
they
don't ask.
Nope. All the vowels in my name are exactly the same. They still can't say it.
Mm-hmm. First and last syllable are exactly the same. Yedoye. And yet I've gotten so.
Yeah.
Just like so many things.
That's like the hair. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. Please enjoy the rest of the con, and we will check you out on the interwebs. So when the crew drops, we're all going to have to check it out so we can support you, Doye. Also, I've watched all of Demon Hunter since recording this, and I agree, it's one of the best animes of 2019, and I cannot wait for season two. Also, My Hero Academia has been really, really good this season, and in fact, I have a bit of a surprise for you. You know the new black character, Rocklock? Well, I'm going to interview the English voice actor, Gabriel Kunda, soon, so please stay tuned for that. In fact, there is one way you won't miss it, and that is you should subscribe. Leave me a comment and a rating on iTunes because it really, really helps me out. And if you're feeling super generous, take a screenshot of whatever podcast player you're using of this episode, post it on Instagram, tag me, and tell me what you thought, okay? Finally, I know so many of us are kind of freaking out at the news right now, and frankly, the concept of war, especially in this country, is terrifying. But you don't have to constantly watch the horrific news cycle that we're on, okay? Take breaks, log off, and do something like fun or nice for yourself, like listen to this podcast or read my blog. Thanks for taking a break and hanging out with me, and I will see you on the internet.